Thank y'all. Thank the Lord. That was awesome.
Thank you, Jesus. You want to pray? Thank you, Daddy God, for the opportunity that you've given us to just share what you have taught us all along the way.
Yes.
I didn't say this in the first service, but basically we're an example of Psalm 92 in the Amplified Version, where it says that we are living memorials to show that the Lord is upright and faithful to his promises. So I just thank you, Daddy, for giving us an opportunity to share with what you've taught us all along the way, and providing us with a pastor that believes in people walking in their gifts and growing in their gifts and putting them in position where they can grow. And right now he's at a church that was planted, that this church helped to plant in January, and it's called the Life Church under the leadership of Leo Burge. So he's encouraging the pastors right now. He's encouraging the congregation. And our pastor is a builder of men. Our pastor is a builder of leaders. And God has called him apostolically to build churches and to encourage leaders and to send people out. So right now, I just want to take time to just pray for him right now and pray for the congregation that he's speaking to. Daddy God, we just thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to be under this leadership of Pastor Marvin and Pastor Angela. We count it an honor and we count it a privilege. And Daddy, thank you for putting us under the position of someone who wants to see us grow in our gift, who wants to see us step out and do the things that you have called and prepared and destined for us to do in the name of Jesus. Right. So speak through his mouth, protect him coming back, equip him, and even encourage him as he's there bringing encouragement and he's bringing resources and strength to the congregation in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we've been asked to speak about order in the home. Come on, somebody. How many of y'all could use some order in your home? Come on, I needed some more witnesses there. We have three children at the house, and we're at the season that we're in, we're at 11, 7, and 4. I don't know where you are, but that's where we're at. And I want to start off with a scripture that hones in on order fairly good. 1 Corinthians 14:40. And that one is, but all things should be done decently and in order. Come on, how many of y'all like that in your house? A little order in the house. And 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace.
Amen.
Amen. Peace in the house. Amen. I want to talk to that word confusion just for a second. It has instability. It's a state of disorder, disturbance, and tumult. And I was tying this in what was going on in Texas because we've all been through that. Amen. Or oh my, through the stuff that they're going through. And so our hearts go out to them and our prayers for sure, because it's going to be a long journey on the road back. But I'm going to bring up an example of a miracle that went on. And I believe that as you put things in order, miracles can happen. So let's look at Mark 6, 38 through 44. And we're going to start at verse 38. And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to all sit down in groups on the green grass. And they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. That's a miracle. Come on, somebody. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. And as you know, there was women and children. So Lord knows how many there was, 5,000 plus. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, put things in order. And miracles can happen.
Miracles.
So even with a miracle going on, there's some order in the house. Come on, somebody, that has to take place. And I was telling you, we have three children. And in the season that we're in, our son Zachariah is 11. We actually put him to good use. Come on, somebody, if you know what I mean. We put him to work. How many of y'all put your children out? You know what I'm talking about. They can do dishes. They can fold clothes. Come on, somebody. So you see what you got in your house. You see what season that you're in. And at this particular, he had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And they recognized that they were wanting to have a po' boy because they took a long way to get there and a long road back. So they were going to need some carbs and protein. So things are in order. Come on, somebody. And then he commanded them to all sit down in groups. Sometimes we got to take control of what's happening in the house. Amen. We got some guys in the house. We know what we're talking about. And he separated them. Sometimes you have to have a little separation, what's going on, to make sure that there's, you know, you go to your corner, you go to your corner, we're going to figure all these things out. And then he looked up to heaven. He probably should have done that first. Look, I'm telling Jesus what to do. You should have prayed. Come on, somebody. We got to pray for this and see what we got going on. And then he delegated some things to his disciples. And our children are disciples in the house. Amen. They're your disciples in your house. They don't just figure this out on their own. We've got to make sure we're discipling them. And then he delegated. He said, okay, y'all go feed the people. Amen. You having your children go out and feed the people. So put things in order and miracles can happen. So my wife's going to give some practical ways that we do that in our home. And I think first things first, she's going to tell her that just because we're holding the mic don't mean we got it all together. Come on,
Amen. Somebody.
We have awesome kids, but we got issues at the house too, just like all of y'all.
Amen. How many of you have issues and strengths and weaknesses? So we all in this together. When Pastor Marvin asks, it's not because we're the model family. It's just because he knows that we strive to put things in order in our family, and we ask God to help us to follow that through. So when I prayed and I asked the Holy Spirit, what is it that he wanted me to share? Just ideas that we have. Six things came up right away that he just wanted me to bring up, just to encourage you and just to give you some ideas. But basically, our plan doesn't have to be your plan. Basically, if you can ask God to show you what creative plan, what creative strategy will work for your family with your kids' personalities. But the main thing is you got to have a plan. You have got to put some kind of structure in place in your home. Otherwise, you will experience chaos and you will experience confusion. And so if you're not a married person, somebody else, Miss April brought this up at the last message, at the last service, that this applies to you. You might be an aunt, you might be an uncle, you might be a teacher. So this is information that you can take to pass on to somebody else who will help them with their family. But some of the things that the Holy Spirit brought to my attention right away is, I'm going to go over just like some little bullets. Okay, y'all ready?
Yeah. Bullets.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. The main thing, one of the main things the Holy Spirit was prompting me to tell you is to make your marriage a priority. That is number one. Your kids have to see that your spouse is number one. And you have to cultivate that relationship. If you're not married, if you're a single mom, if you're a single dad, your relationship with Jesus Christ needs to be a priority, where you take special times of devotion and prayer and study and small group, whatever you can get your hands on to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. But we have...
Amen.
Amen. We have I think I flipped it again. We have things, scheduled date nights. And you might say, well, if you don't put it on the calendar, it will not happen. So what I like to do is, if we're in the month of August, a month ahead of time, just already X out the day or the night or whatever it is that you are going to have a date night and work it around it. As things come up, you can't. You already have a commitment. My marriage is a priority. So that needs to be... First, the kids need to know that your marriage is a priority. Each day have special, I call it hour times. You know what I mean? Where they go to bed at a certain time, and each according to their age, the older one gets to go to bed a little later than the baby. But they have an ordered, scheduled time for their own benefit. They might not see it as their own benefit, but they need that to grow mentally, spiritually, and physically. They need the sleep. But they need to see that mom and daddy have dates. They need to see that mom and daddy have our time, so that when they try to come in the room and speak to us, they know that this is our time right now, and that we're training husbands and wives to set that example when they get in their home, that your marriage needs to be a priority among anything else before the children. If you don't set that priority, then you're going to raise a child-centered home rather than a home centered around your marriage and God. So your marriage needs to be first. And your family needs to evolve around your marriage, not your marriage revolve around your children. Amen. 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 Even when just simple things, when I'm talking to him and the children might want to try to come and mama, 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 and I'll tell them to stop. Daddy's talking right now. It not only shows him respect and honor, but it shows them that Daddy is the leader of the home, and we submit to his authority, and we give him honor, and we give him respect. So you have to wait until he finishes talking before I can talk to you. I know it might sound like, but this is what this is about, order in the home.
So, plus, I'm gone several hours a day. Come on, somebody.
Marriage a priority. The next thing. What's the first thing?
Marriage.
I didn't hear nobody. Marriage.
I heard more
priority.
From over here.
Yeah,
marriage is
a priority.
Side.
The next thing, pray together. Pray together and study God's word together on a regular daily basis. And I know the first thing that people come up and say, when am I going to have time? And as I listen to Joyce Meyer's teaching, she often says, look, we've all been given 24 hours in a day. It's up to you what you do with that time. And if you don't plan it, it will not happen. So what I do with my children, I know they're all different ages. I back it up. I make them wake up earlier. And so that even as a little baby, like I was explaining in the last class, as a little baby, Zachariah, from when he was two, whatever it is, but he knew that before he left to go to childcare, that we studied God's word together and that we prayed together as a family. So that means back up earlier, wake up earlier, and make this a priority in your family. So it might mean a sacrificing for you, but we are responsible for training up our children in the ways of God. We are responsible for where they spend eternity, not the church.
Amen.
We are. The church should partner with us, but we're responsible for their where they spend eternity. Amen. So it doesn't have to be the same thing all the time. I just try to keep a little variety, whether it's we're reading God's word one time or we're journaling another time or send them to their room and listen to music and draw what God is showing them. Or we look at a Christian video, a particular song. So I want them to see that they can hear God in many different ways. And so we might hit something that they might be dealing with at that time, selfishness or pride or honor or respect. So we'll look up that word in the concordance, and then I'll have them look it up in the Bible, and then we'll talk about it. But I mean, I allow at least 15 to 20 minutes before they go to school every day. And so that means they all have to wake up earlier, but oh well, I'm accountable. And I want God to look at us and say, well done. You took charge of what I gave you. And I want him to say, what did you do with what I gave you? So whatever sacrifices it takes on my behalf, then I need to die to the flesh and I need to put forth the effort now, because in the long run, it's going to be worth it. And we only have them for a certain amount of time in our home, and then they're going to be released. So we got to do as much as we can while we have them before they're released. Amen. You have anything you want to say about that?
Yeah, just even practically, I know sometimes the definition of family has changed over the years. Of what we got going on in our house, you know, whether it be blended families or whatever that goes on for you. And it's an understanding that you just start putting these things in place. So if you're like, yeah, right, 20 minutes, I don't even have 5 minutes. Start with the five that you can start with and work up to 10 and work up to 20, where you're incorporating that into your lifestyle. And it's just like everything else. You just have to exercise that muscle and get it working. Amen.
And it's the same thing if you don't even have children right now. Some of you don't even have children. There's things that I did as a single woman doing my personal private time with God that when I got married and then we have children, they just came along. It was a pattern.
Just what
so
you
it's
do.
Just basically creating a pattern, establishing a pattern for yourself personally and in your marriage, so that when children do come along, they'll just follow right in that pattern. And y'all all grow together, basically.
Amen.
So first one, marriage a priority. I think everybody got marriage a priority. Marriage a priority. Next thing, pray together. Read God's word together. Next thing, and I looked at Peyton on this, but this one is my longest one. I'm going to try to sum it up. But this one, the one is very special to me. Family meals.
Amen.
Having meals together as a family. Whatever that might look like, whether it's breakfast, whether it's supper, whether it's lunch, whatever it is, get your family together at a certain time during the week, certain time during the day. Some of the literature that I read, it said 4 times a week at least for an hour at a time. That's a lot when you have little ones running all over the place. So for me personally, for us, I try to focus on 4 times a week at least 30 minutes at a time. And my thing is, what concerns me is we're raising a generation that has lost the value of face-to-face communication. And that concerns me. That concerns me because they will get married. They will have children. They will have to learn how to talk to somebody instead of text somebody.
Texting each other at the dinner table.
They will have to know how to work out issues face-to-face and feel uncomfortable and argue and, you know, ask God for the solution and come together and make up. So that kind of thing concerns me. So I was saying in the last services, we set a timer. I know it sounds like rigid, but everybody's so used to just eating and then leave. You know, it takes all the time to cook the food, prepare the food, and then you eat, and then you want to get up from the table. So a lot of times I'll say we are sitting in Georgia, the time's not up yet, and they laugh, but like I intentionally am trying to get them to sit for 30 minutes. And it's challenging for you as an adult. So I know because y'all doing like. You want me to sit with my child that keeps going up for 30 minutes? I'm saying I know it's a challenge. I know it's difficult. But in the end, it's going to be worth it. That we are setting them up to be successful husbands and wives and moms and dads. And it starts at that table. As crazy as it sounds, it starts by bringing everybody together and loving on each other and just talking. They develop skills in their communication. They have to learn how to listen. They have to learn how to wait. You know what I mean? And do we have arguments at our table at times? Yes. Do we have children that don't eat at our table at times? Yes. And God has given us little creative ways of how to work that out too. So if you want to talk to us about that after class, I'm sure you should teach a class, after service, you can. Because I know everybody's different, but that's some of the things that are important to me. I know, for example, George leaves and goes to work sometimes at 10 o'clock. So sometimes I believe he knows family meals are important to me. So I eat with them before they go to school. So a lot of times he'll just come and eat breakfast with them and then go back to bed. So what I'm saying, 10 minutes, 15 minutes is better than none. So I'm saying you put forth the effort. Be intentional about bringing that family together at the table, whether it's 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 15 minutes. You be intentional. You be the one that says, all right, everybody, dinner time. And I didn't say this in other service, but allow them to participate. Sometimes I ask them to, what is it that you want to eat next week? And to help make the menu. And one set the table. And one wash dishes. And one clean up. I mean, get them involved. It's a family thing. So they don't feel like, you know, that you're always just telling them what to do. You know, just kind of get everybody involved in it. We did this before we were married, and I mean, when we got married, before we had children, and there were certain times that we delegated to have supper together. And so even like right now, you don't have children, you're just newly married, make the time, put the phone away, turn off the TV, no toys, none of that at the table. It's just face-to-face time. So if you don't have children right now, designate that time where you put everything up and you sit down and you have a meal together. Yeah. And you just don't hurry up and eat and leave.
Get used to turning your device off now. They do have off buttons. Come on, somebody.
The thing that concerns me, and I know I'm going to get to it, I brought this up in the last service. Have y'all ever seen these Dixie paper plate commercials? You know what I'm talking about? There's this commercial that's advertising to eat off of a paper plate rather than, is basically saying like, leave the dishes alone. It's better to eat on the paper plate and be with family and get to know family rather than spend all your time cooking and cleaning. So I think it was saying like, be all there, be here, wherever you are, just be all there.
Be there when you're there.
Be there when you're there. You know what I'm saying? Another thing that stuck out to me about this whole family meal thing, because I know we're only on the third point. Marriage first, pray and study God's word together, and now family meals. We're on the third one. So I told you the family meals is the longest one for me. But they have a challenge, and there's a commercial, and it hurts my heart so much. There's a dad on this side and a mom on this side of the table, and the little boy's in the middle. And the little boy is looking at the dad, and the little boy is telling the dad that he just did like this art project or something at school today. And the dad's like, oh, good. And the dad has a phone. That's nice. And then the boy looks at the mom, and the boy's telling the mom that he has like maybe an art showing or something like that at a certain time of the week next week. And she's like, okay, just let us know how we can help, and we'll help you. They never look up from their device. And my heart for us is that if the world can see that we have a problem, if the world can see that this is starting to become a problem, how much more should we as a church be representing that family is a priority? And I'm not going to allow the devices to control me. I'm going to take control of my family and turn this thing on when I think it's appropriate. So if the world can see that our faces are down, the church's responsibility is to set the example of what order and family is a priority looks like. Amen. I don't know if you want to.
Yeah, the title of this series that they're doing is called Family Matters, because family matters. Come on, somebody. It matters what we do. It matters what we do proactively in the beginning while we're in the trenches dealing with what's going on, and it's going to matter for generations to come. I wrote down a scripture. It was Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 2, and it's talking about the different promises that God has for us and how we're supposed to walk in His ways. But He takes the time to stop in the middle of all that, and He's talking to you. And when He starts talking to you, He says, comma, you. This is what you means. It means you, your children, and your grandchildren. Because when He looks at you, and I was hoping y'all had your baby with you, but when he sees the grandfather, the son, and the grandchild, come on, somebody, so that it matters the choices that we make right now. Even if you're just pregnant right now, it's like, you start doing this right now. If you're just getting together as a couple, start doing this right now. If you're single, start deciding, I'm going to set apart time to make a family that's godly family, that's a kingdom family. Amen? So when God looks at you, don't just say, okay, this doesn't even apply to me, what they're talking about. When He sees you, He sees you, your children, and your grandchildren. Grasp that concept, because it's important in all the decisions that we make. Amen?
This is 10 little things. I asked my husband to read it. This is 10 little benefits of family meals. I told you the family meal is like a big thing that the Holy Spirit really wanted me to zone in on, and particularly for this church for some reason. But this is some of the little benefits.
10 benefits of a family meal. So for time's sake, I'm just going to read these through. So get the download of this message. I don't know if you have time to write them all down. Number one is eating together provides time that kids can count on spending with their parents. Number two, kids who share at least 4 meals with their families do better on achievement tests than those who eat 3 or fewer meals with their families. Come on now. Number 3, kids' thinking skills and linguistic development improve because they're actually talking. Oh, my. This may be due to longer conversations that tend to take place during family meals. Number 4, family meals contribute to a child's healthy development even more than play or story time. Number 5, teens who eat more meals with their families are less likely to be depressed. And we know we need some help with that. Come on, somebody. Number 6, teenagers who share more family meals are less likely to take drugs. That's a nice benefit. Amen. Number 7, eating more meals together also result in teens being more motivated to learn. Number 8, teens who share more family meals experience better relationships with their families and friends because they actually know how to interact. Here's the one I like. Number 9, kids who are in the habit of eating with families eat more vegetables because they actually have more opportunity with the vegetables in front of them. Come on. Number 10, kids who share family meals drink less soda. You're going to have to explain that one to me. I'm not sure about that one.
Amen. It's true. This one is true. I could vouch for it. I've seen that with our children. The more often you eat together as a family, the more your kids will benefit, and the better emotional, mental, and physical health they will enjoy. So like I said, do whatever you can. Make it intentional, whether it's 10 minutes, 15, 20, 30. Bring them together at the table at least 4 days a week. Make a plan. If you don't have a plan, it's not going to happen. If you don't plan it out, put it on the calendar, it won't happen. So make a plan. It's not going to just pop out. The next thing is...
Need a better amen than that.
Amen.
Amen. The next thing is very important is take time to turn your devices off and devote time to your family. Even my son at a young age, he's 11 now, our son at a young age, when he's telling some of his friends' parents to call, he tells them, look, she has to call before 5 o'clock because after that, my mama turns off her phone. They've seen it set up for so many years that after they come home from school, and I know they're in different seasons of your life and different ones are in different activities which require them to be out. So the bottom line is just do what works for your family. I know there's going to be times where they're going to be out more than they're going to be in. But the whole point is if they're coming in from school and they have homework and you have supper and they have baths, you only have a little window before they go to bed. So make sure you're not spending that window on Facebook. Make sure you're not spending that window on texting or emails. I'm talking about for your marriage, too. If you're just married and you don't have children, devote that nighttime to your spouse. And if you're a single person and you're not married yet, turn your phone off and just spend time resting or soaking in God's word or listening to the different pastors or teachers or just taking care of yourself so that you can pour into your children. But have that time where you disconnect so that you can fully connect with your family. All right, so that's three. The first one, marriage a priority. Second
we'll
one.
Make sure y'all know this now.
I know because everybody's looking a little tired. Second one.
Prayer and reading.
Third one, family meals. All right, this one, number four. No, don't allow the urgent to crowd out the important. The Holy Spirit was showing me this morning when I was praying because, you know, we've been praying for y'all and praying for this church family. He was showing me that important represented being and urgent represented doing. So don't allow the doing to overtake the being with the family. You know what I'm saying? Because there's always going to be deadlines. People are always going to be needing to answer through text or through emails. And people are going to be messaging you through Facebook, however you do it. But take time to say, you know, my children are more important. My marriage is more important. I'm more important. Even as a single person, I need to turn everything off so that I can get some download and some rest time. You know what I'm saying? So take time to put the stuff away and not allow the urgent. There's a study that we did, and it's called Balancing Life's Demands, where the pastor was saying the urgent is rarely important and the important is rarely urgent. So just let that sink in. The urgent is rarely important and the important is rarely urgent. So ask God to help you not to be overtaken by the urgent, by the doing, and focus on the being. Because like I said, when we do that, I believe that it says to our children, you are more important. Because they know we turn it off and at the table, everything. But I know it's saying to them, you are more important than any other phone call I'm going to get. People are always going to need prayer. People are always going to need help. People are always going to need encouragement, but we only got one family, and we only got one family for so long while they're in our house. Right. And we want to make sure that we've done our very best with what we've been given, and we've pointed them to Jesus, and we've shown them that they're valuable and that they're important. Amen. I don't know if you have something to say.
Yeah, we're almost out of time, but I wanted to throw this in because there was a lady at the first service that came up to us at the end, and just as confirmation, she said, she was checking off her list. Yeah, I do all this, I do all that, and I do all that. And one of her children had gone off to college, and now she's coming home for a family meal. It's like that's something that they miss. And it's important that we understand that even though they might be fighting it right now as you're putting this in place, that as they get older, that this is something that's going to give them stability and security, even a wanting to, it's like, okay, yeah, you want your children to come home. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Wanting to come home and say, I miss that. They don't have that out in the world. The enemy's tried to just dissolve and just separate the family in so many different ways that as Christians, we need to understand that in our house, it's not happening. Come on, somebody. I need a better amen than that. It's not happening. You got to put your foot down. Take control. And if you're like, I need a miracle in my house for that to happen, put things in order and miracles will happen. Amen?
This is one of the last things. So don't let the urgent crowd out the important. And one of the last things is give clear consequences and follow through, whether it's good or not so good. So over and over in Deuteronomy, Moses tells the children of Israel, if you do this, then this. If you do this, blessings will come. If you do this, curses will come. So make sure that you tell them what's going to happen, but that you follow through with what you said. So no matter how difficult it might be for you, like I was explaining in the first service, you know, if I'm telling you that you get more spankings if you lie, and the spankings are harder when you lie versus when you do another thing, then no matter how hard it is for me to do it, that when it does happen, I got to make sure that I follow through, because I'm teaching them to be a woman of my word. I'm teaching them to be a woman of integrity. I'm teaching them that they can't manipulate the situation. I have to follow through with what I said, no matter how much it hurts. But if I said this is going to happen, that it's important that they see it happen, and that the blessings part too, that, you know, if you continue to do this, you'll get a reward. There's certain little things that we have set up at our house. And if I catch them doing kind things, they have like a little sheet. It's called kindness points. And if they get a certain amount of kindness points, they get a little special treat. So it's important that they see a visual, verbal, and physical rewards, whether it's a high five, whether it's kissing, where it's hugging, constant words of affirmation. It's important that they see that to feel valuable, to feel loved, and to feel connected. I don't know if you had something to say on that.
Just if you just have structure and order without any love, you got trouble. Come on, somebody, you're just making it worse.
And you know what that reminds me of? Rules without relationship lead to rebellion. Rules. God showed me that a long time ago.
We didn't share that earlier.
But God showed me that a long time ago. If you give them the rules and you don't have a relationship with them and cultivate a relationship with them, they're going to rebel. So if you just constantly laying down the law and all of these things, and now we're going to start doing this, but you're not doing anything to connect with their heart, they're going to rebel. They're going to rebel. So I know we're about summed up now. Our time is about up, but when I was praying and asking the Holy Spirit if the worship team wants to come up, that was fast. Yeah, that was fast. When I was praying and asking the worship, asking God and praying for all of you, he was showing me that, if you know, even if you don't have children right now, or even if you're not even married right now, or whatever it is, if you want to set up order in your home as a single woman, as a single man, or just as a married couple without children, let us agree with you. Let the prayer team come up and let us agree with you that the Holy Spirit will give you a download of what to put in place for your family. What creative strategy, God, do you want for the children, the personality of our children, and the structure of our home in this season of our life? Let our prayer team agree with you on that. But also,
why
when
we
I
all
was
stand up.
Yeah, also when I was praying for all of us, and we could start playing if y'all want. When I was praying, the Holy Spirit was showing me, and he asked, I said if he wanted me to mention it, that he would remind me, and he did. So when I was praying for y'all, this service and all the families represented, he showed me a picture of you taking your phone. And if you have allowed the urgent to crowd out what's important, he showed me a picture of this representing an altar, and that you take your phone, you physically come and take your phone and lay your phone at the altar and ask God to forgive you if you've allowed the urgent things of this earth to crowd out what's important in your family and in your marriage, or even as a single man or woman, that you've allowed it to come between the relationship that he has with you and you have with him, that you lay it on the altar and that you ask him for wisdom, and you ask him for strategy, and you ask him for understanding for your family. That's the only way that order is going to come in. You're going to have to lay something down in order to receive fresh manna. You're going to have to lay down the old to receive the new.
Amen.
And that's what I saw. So as if you have been in that situation where you feel convicted that I've allowed the urgent to crowd out what's important. As an example to God, as a representation of God, God, you are more important to me than this technology. It's a symbol. You lay it down and you say, you are more important. My family's more important.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
We do thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you for this word. We declare that we will have peace in our house. We declare that we will have order. You're a God of order and peace. And anywhere that we're out of order or out of structure where you're concerned, we just ask for your forgiveness in that, in Jesus' name. And I just thank you that as a church body, that wherever we're at, where we stand with this message, that we're passing it along, or even if we're just going to start walking in it, I thank you that you give us the grace and mercy to do that. I thank you that as we see ourselves, we see ourselves as you see us, as you, your son, and your grandchildren, whatever the case may be in your home, whatever that looks like, I thank you that you start viewing things in a generational view, as our God is a generational God. Amen.